And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. We've got a lot to talk about today. But first, let me just tell you that on Tuesday, May the 12th, we are hosting our Stand Awards Dinner, and it is going to be a blockbuster time, I can tell you. We've been praying over this and believing God over it, and it is shaping up already. So would you please put it in your schedule, May the 12th, Tuesday, May the 12th. It's going to be at the Tysons Corner Marriott in Tysons Corner, Virginia. That's Tysons, Virginia, actually, I think it is. But that's right outside of Washington, D.C. So if you're one of our Virginia listeners, please make plans to get there. But even if you're just right across the border in North Carolina, or for that matter, wherever you are in the country, if you want to come to a great event that you will not regret attending, if necessary, fly on across the country to be here. Believe me, you won't regret it. And I'd look forward to meeting you. Particularly love meeting our American Family Radio listeners and having a chance to talk to you all. It's always a blessing. Always great to see you. Again, that's Tuesday, May the 12th at the Tysons Corner Marriott, 7 p.m. for the dinner, 6 p.m. for sponsors reception. And we would love to have you come. Now, we don't have ticket sales up yet, but I'm giving you advance notice. They will be going up in the next 1 to 2 weeks. And everything will be available online at standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. In the meantime, if you want to make a contribution or help us in any way, feel free to do so at standamerica.us. Thank you, as always, for all of your help and support for American Family Radio and the American Family Association and its family of organizations and ministries that we support. Thank you so very much for that. I want to express my gratitude for the support that I get from American Family Association for our efforts. They've been a tremendous blessing, a tremendous help and encouragement to us at STAND. Remember, our mission is to bring people together, Americans together across racial and cultural lines, to uphold our Judeo-Christian heritage and values as one nation under God. That is desperately needed, and that will lead into one of the topics I want to talk about today. But before I get to that topic, I want to say a little something about the economy. I haven't talked much about the economy these days because I really believe President Trump is doing a great job. But we're hearing polls that say, or hearing of polls that say, the majority of the American people don't think the president is doing enough on the economy, and they're not satisfied with the president on the economy. Now, Lord knows, I am not here to make excuses for President Trump. He doesn't really need me to do that anyway. He's entirely capable of defending himself. But I do want to say this. As someone who works and operates within the economy, who is not wealthy, I'm not a millionaire or anything. I live a fairly ordinary life, as many do. In other words, I'm not one of these people who, for whom it doesn't really, nothing that happens in the economy pretty much matters to them because they've got so much money that it just doesn't matter. I'm not one of those people. So I'm not insensitive to the vagaries of the economy. However, I think the most important thing for us to acknowledge is President Trump has brought energy prices down. And President Trump has gotten inflation down to a manageable rate. We were running close to 10% inflation at the height of Biden's inflationary debacle, his inflation disaster, when he washed all that money through the economy, like spending, like it's an insult to drunken sailors to compare him to a drunken sailor. So I won't even do that. I mean, just spending like a man gone mad. And we all knew, every single one of us knew that this was going to, well, any thinking person who knows, who's got even a modicum of understanding of how a free market system works, understood that sending all of that printed money into the economy was going to spur inflation. And it started almost immediately. And as soon as it started, we were being told, oh, it's temporary, it's transitory, you know. Like, we got a trans economy now. You know, it'll change. Well, we all knew that wasn't true. I mean, again, anybody who's reasonably economically literate knew that wasn't true. You know what it reminds me of? I'm sure all of you had this experience, right? You buy something or you're charged for something that you shouldn't be charged for, or you buy something that you don't want or whatever, and you need to get a refund, either because the store made a mistake or maybe you made a mistake. And I always say, you know, well, they take that money out instantaneously. Boom, it's gone. But you never get it back instantaneously, almost ever. You hear, it'll take about 3 days. It'll take about 10 days. Well, I said, but they certainly don't put it back as quickly as they take it out. Well, you know, when inflation is allowed to run rampant in the economy, it's very easy to get it started by doing the stupid things that Joe Biden did. But it's very difficult to stop the consequences, because even when the inflation rate comes down, the prices don't come down. Generally speaking, when prices go up, they do not come down easily. So there's a process in which wages have to increase in order to catch up while inflation slows down. And that is not an overnight process. And that's what we're experiencing right now. I mean, the inflation rate is far, far better than it was. But I tell you what, some of the prices are still very high. And that is something, it's going to take the president's entire term to probably correct, so that we finally feel like, okay, well, we're back where we were in the first Trump administration, where our income is kind of matching the price levels that we're seeing. I mean, folks, I don't eat a lot of beef, but I do eat some. And I like fillets, you know. I will never forget, I went and was buying 2 or 3 fillets. And I saw the price come up on the scale. And it finally triggered me, because I hadn't even thought about it. You know, I mean, again, we're not wealthy people, but I don't think about, let's put it this way. I'm not going to not buy the food I want because I feel like we really can't afford that. God, thank God. We're blessed to be able to get pretty much what we want. I mean, I can't go out and buy a yacht, but I can go out and buy a steak. And most of us are at that point, right? I looked down at the thing and I said, wait a minute, how much is this? He said, $33 a pound. I said, what? $33 a pound. Whoa. That's what it had gotten up to in Biden's inflation. And you know what? It hasn't really come down. So it's going to take some time for, and prices, I believe, will ease down a bit, but wages are going to have to increase. And so when these leftists get in office and they do these stupid things, they not only hurt us while they're there, but that pain is inflicted on us even after they're gone. And unfortunately, President Trump, some people who are just not well-versed in the economy, don't really understand it, will blame him. Well, my prices are still too high, but it's not his fault. He didn't do it. But by bringing energy prices down, he has certainly brought inflation down. And I think eventually we will see some prices diminish. It's going to take some diminution in demand, if you will. It's going to take demand to ease up a little bit too, in order to bring some prices down. And demand, it's a testament to the prosperity of the American people, that demand pretty much remains very, very high. I mean, you go visit friends, go visit family, you know what I always notice they've got around? Packages delivered. So I just wanted to get that out there on the economy, folks, so that, you know, you'd at least be reminded, when I see the majority of people think President Trump is not spending enough time or focusing enough on the economy, what they're really saying is, I don't feel the economic benefit yet of his administration. And that doesn't mean you're not getting any, but they're saying, I don't feel it yet. Remember, he's trying to get interest rates down on mortgages. That's going to be a tremendous blessing. And of course, he's going to continue to work to get energy prices down. And that's going to be a tremendous blessing. And I think that is going to bring some prices down as well. But folks, this is not, again, trying to make excuses for President Trump. But the stuff that Biden did, we're liable to be paying for a decade or more. I mean, look, we're still paying for the stuff that Barack Obama did. The racial climate he set in the economy, we're still paying for that. Which brings me to my next point. You know, our organization, just in case any of you is not aware, I think I said this a little earlier as we were opening, but let me say it again because I really want you to get this, because this is who we are. Our organization Staying True to America's National Destiny is dedicated to bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines, to uphold our Judeo-Christian heritage and values as one nation under God. Now that is really it in a nutshell. You could probably repeat that yourself based on what I just said. Unfortunately, there are people in this country who want with every fiber of their being to divide us, and race is a primary tool that they use to try to do that. The leftists, the Democrats, if you will. And they just don't ever, ever, ever let up. And that's why I can't ever, ever let up. We've got to keep pounding away. You know, instead of them, as the preamble to the Constitution says, wanting us to become a more perfect union, they want us to be ripped apart as a union. Let me make one additional point, and then I want to get to some specific instances of this that we see in the news right now. The spirit of the Democrat Party has not changed. Remember, the Democrat Party, because you have to remember, folks, as I've pointed out many times, do you know overall, at the height of slavery, do you know how many Americans, what percentage of Americans actually own slaves? About 5%. Now that is a shocking number, and you probably, wait a minute, can that possibly be right? Because slavery is talked about as if everybody had slaves and everybody, you know, was, it's just not true. First of all, slavery had ended in the North. Secondly, even in the South, only people who were very well-to-do could own slaves. Now, occasionally, a small farmer with a small plot of land might have one or two slaves, but even most of the time, they couldn't afford it. So only about 5% of the population owned slaves. Now, I'm talking about the patriarchs. Leftists have disputed this and said, well, if you include the wife and you include the children and you include the extended family, yeah, you include them. And guess what? You can get it up to maybe 30%. That means 70% of the people, even if you use the number the leftists like to use, 70% of the people were not participating in slavery, did not own slaves. Now, there is no question that an ideology was promoted by the slave master class to make everybody think that slavery was in their best interest, but it wasn't. It was only in the interest of the slave master class, because the people who were trying to earn a living by working and hiring themselves out, they were having a devil of a time because they were competing against slave labor. It didn't help the average white worker at all. It hurt them. In fact, the story of West Virginia is precisely that principle played out, that the West Virginians said, you know what? Slavery doesn't help us. It doesn't do anything for us. And yet we're under this system in Virginia. So they say, you know what? And when Civil War hit, they started West Virginia. And of course, by a series of maneuvers, which, you know, things that probably couldn't have been done had we not had the Civil War. President Lincoln ended up engineering it so that you had a separate state. The people of West Virginia, they wanted it. But of course, the legalities in the Civil War were somewhat difficult, but they got it done. And so we have West Virginia. a testament to the fact that Americans of European ancestry understood slavery was not in their best interest if you weren't wealthy enough to own a bunch of slaves. Now, I said all that to say, again, that the spirit of the Democrat Party, which is the primary purveyor and promoter of slavery, has not changed. It was the party of control. It was the party of exploitation of human beings for their own benefit then. It is the same party now. It was the party of the Ku Klux Klan, the enforcement arm that was willing to use violence to force people to adhere to their wishes. And it is the party of Antifa now, the same thing. People who are violent in order to try to get people to submit to their wishes. In fact, we know that because of the Ku Klux Klan, it became the party of lynching. What is it now? It's the party of spitting on ICE agents and shooting them and kicking them and punching them and pushing them and threatening them and doxing them. It is the same party now in spirit that it was then. They use a patina of Christianity, but they weren't Christians because they had no sense of the love of God. And no understanding of the absolute requirement by God that we love others. Because it wasn't about loving others, it was about using others. Now, the Democrat Party is the same party today. But the packaging is different, no question. They're not lynching people. But once again, you can see the lengths to which they're willing to go when they don't like what people stand for. I mean, it's the party that will crash a meeting at a university and threaten the speaker and throw pies, throw rocks sometimes, attack people physically, literally attack them. Some of these freelance reporters who are on college campuses in various places trying to get the story. Their lives are threatened. It is the same party today as it was then. They just package themselves. Well, now we're the party of liberation. No, they're actually the party of captivity. Because anybody who doesn't go along is subject to vicious, vehement attack by whatever means necessary. Now, that during that time, the party used race as a badge of inferiority for Americans of African ancestry as a justification for oppressing them, for using them, for exploiting them. Now, they use, instead of a race as a badge of inferiority, they use race as a badge of victimization as a justification for providing privileges in order to position people to do their bidding. See, it's the same thing, but now it's not physical force, it's psychological force. It's still dependence. It's still what I would call managed care. Yeah, you don't have to worry about where you're going to sleep. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear because we're going to provide a subsistence living for you. All you've got to do is be in the field when we tell you to. Now the field is go out there and protest, go out there and riot, and get out there and vote for us. As long as you do that, we're good. When you don't do that, when you try to escape from that plantation and you happen to be, as they would frame it, a person of color, we have a problem. We have a big problem. I've said part of the hostility against ICE agents and Border Patrol agents is the fact that the majority of Border Patrol agents, or I think it's a little bit better than the majority, are Hispanic, and about a third of the ICE agents are Hispanic, and they particularly hate them because they feel like they are slaves that escaped the plantation. And boy, those are the ones that you have a particular antipathy for and hostility for because they betrayed you after all the liberals have done for them. After all the little modern slave masters have done to give them a subsistence and to make them so secure and to defend them against the vicious racists out there who are Republicans and conservatives. After all they've done, and you have the nerve to be an ICE agent or a Border Patrol agent, or they would say to blacks, and you have the nerve to be a conservative? Of course, to a lesser extent, but still same thing to women. You have the nerve to be a conservative after all we've done for you? Like the slave master who catches a slave and whips him and says, I've done so much for you. How dare you try to escape? Have you no gratitude? Yeah, well, what I want, the slave is thinking, what I want is not you reminding me of how grateful I should be. What I want is to be free. Folks, it is exactly the same dynamic. Just think about that a little bit, because I realize that's kind of a subtle analysis that I haven't heard anybody else give. In fact, I was talking to somebody about a week and a half ago, and I shared that with them. The person said, wow, I never thought about it, but you are absolutely right. Because the spirit of that thing has not changed. And frankly, it is an abomination. I think I really accurately refer to it as the Democrat Party, because I think that's what it really is. And you think about other levels of control. We will control your children, and we will cut off your son's genitalia, and we will cut off your daughter's breasts, and you ought to thank us for it because we know better how they should live and what they need than you do, parent. I mean, man, the same way that a slave master would say, no, I will tell you what your children need. You don't get any say in that. And I will separate you from your children when it's in my best interest. You don't get any say in that either. I mean, it is the same thing, folks. That the old
old rules, the slave codes, it's called. The old slave code said you cannot teach a black person to read and write.
But the modern slave system says, we just send them to schools where they won't learn to read and write. And we keep them there so that when their parents say, well, what about school choice? What about my being able to send my child to a different school? They say, no, that's not in your best interest. And we know what's in your best interest. Over 70% of children, of parents in inner cities want to be able to send, have the option of sending their child to a different school, a private school. They would accept vouchers, scholarships, whatever's available. But the Democrats always say no. No, they can stay right where they are because we know what's best. And reading and writing and being educated and thinking for themselves is not what's in their best interest because that's not what they need. What they need is to think the way we want them to think. I don't know whether you saw Charlie Kirk. There's a program in his name, of course, hosted by a couple guys. And I was watching one about a week ago, and they were showing videos of all the schools around the country where they had kindergartners, folks, and elementary school children out protesting against ICE. Now, what in the world does a kindergartner or elementary school child know about these issues? Nothing. But they don't care. They want to brainwash them. I mean, just like communists, just like Adolf Hitler, they set out to separate the children from their parents by instilling in the children the ideas that these totalitarian leaders wanted them to have without any regard to what their parents wanted them to have or wanted them to think or the values that they wanted them to have. You see the many parallels here? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. And actually teaching people that killing your own child is a good thing to do, which suggests what?
We, your masters, set the value of your child, not you. And if we say the child is worthless, we will sanction your killing it and applaud you for it. I mean, folks, I know this stuff is raw and it's ugly, but it's the truth. It is the truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So let me give you a couple of examples that I wanted to share with you today. So Joy Reid, who I rarely talk about. In fact, I don't know that I've mentioned her once or twice here and there, because I just don't think she's a person who is worthy of any recognition or acknowledgement at all, because I really think she's an complete airhead. And she is. But she called Nicki Minaj, get this. This is what I'm getting at, this slave master mentality. And by the way, this is across racial and cultural lines. This is the ideology of Marxism and collectivism, which says you as an individual don't matter. The only thing that matters is your adherence to the collective will. That's what matters. So she called Nicki Minaj a house pet put to blackface on MAGA. A house pet in blackface on MAGA. Because she dared to attend Turning Point USA, and she dared to express support for President Trump. I mean, see, this is the caricature of a slave master, of a person who thinks, I own you. Why aren't you bending and adhering to my will? Well, since you are not, I will then dehumanize you. I will turn you into something less than human. I will attribute to you no thought, no reasoning, no ability to look at facts, no ability to look at information, no ability to decide for yourself. I will attribute to you no cognition whatsoever. You are an animal, like an animal that's run amok. And what she called her? A house pet. A house pet. And in blackface, which is meant to be demeaning and you know, suggests she's a minstrel. Well, folks, I've got a question I want to ask you. It's not enough that Nicki Minaj has thought through things herself and has decided this is where I stand. No. Nicki Minaj is a race traitor. See? It's like you betrayed your master by leaving the plantation. How dare you? But I've got a question I want to ask you. And I've posed this question on TikTok. If Joy Reid is supposed to be the epitome of blackness, if Joy Reid is supposed to be the icon of what it means to be black, the defender of black people, the defender of blackness, the defender of black justice. And I mean, her whole identity is she is the black woman, right? Why does she dye her hair blonde? Now, look, I don't care how people choose to style themselves. It's none of my business. I could care less. But when you style yourself as as the paradigm of blackness, and then you dye your hair blonde, it kind of makes me wonder if there's not a little bit of schizophrenia there. Because Americans of people of African ancestry don't have blonde hair. I mean, I don't know what, you know, the hair of an albino who happens to be of African ancestry would look like. I would imagine that might be blind, but that person's got a skin condition. They've got a problem. I think it's a melanin problem. And that, of course, it could happen to anybody of any race. But normal people of African ancestry do not have blonde hair. Who has blonde hair? Northern Europeans? Swedish, Norwegians, British, Irish, but certainly not people from Africa who his ancestors come from Africa, but Miss Africa herself, right? She dyes her hair blonde. Now, why is that? You know what I think it is, folks? And listen to me, because I'm probably not going to say what you think I'm going to say. I think it's because these people are so demonically possessed that they simply cannot be happy with who God made them to be. You got to be trans. If you're black, you got to have blonde hair. They simply cannot be happy because they are in rebellion against God. They cannot be happy with who God made them to be. And so they need some dramatic change so that when they look in the mirror, since all they are, they're people of the flesh. They're not people of the spirit. So all they are is of the flesh. And they look in the mirror, they can see something fleshly that makes them feel satisfied. This thing is spiritual. I know you probably thought, I was going to say, she wants to be white with all that. And who knows, maybe she does. But I think it's deeper than that. She is in rebellion against her creator. I said the first trans was Satan. Satan was the first being to claim he was transitioning. Because he's the first being to say, you made me an angel, but I'm not satisfied with that. And I think you're wrong. I want to be God. So you could call Satan a trans god with a little g, when in actuality, he's an angel. And lied, just like the whole trans movement, lied to a bunch of angels and got all of them involved in the same sick movement. A third of them rebelling against their creator. No, we're not satisfied with who he made us to be, and we're not satisfied with the status he gave us. We're going to take it upon ourselves to become our own gods, and we're going to do what we want to do. And part of what we want to do is improve or correct what God has done. That's just a little footnote that I can't help but notice, because I'm looking at a picture of her right here with blonde hair. Now, what is that? I mean, it's funny in a way, because it's one thing. They'd be running around, you know, talking about how black you are and how black it, but you got blonde hair. Lord have mercy on us. People are so confused. And look, I don't hate this woman. We just need to pray for her. So she racializes that issue. And then people are saying that criticism of Bad Bunny is racist. Well, Bad Bunny is just a fool. He's just a demonic fool. I mean, first of all, he rails against America's immigration policy, being too stupid to understand that every nation has the right, as a sovereign nation, to determine who enters its borders, who crosses into the nation, and who cannot, who may and who may not. Every nation on earth claims that privilege, every single one of them. And I got news for you. You tried doing this stuff in China. You tried doing it in Mexico. You tried doing it in any other country in the world. And they're not going to give you $1,000 in benefits and fly you wherever you want to go and put you up in hotels and food feeds you and all that. They're going to kick you out. In fact, many of them first going to put you in jail. And it won't be a jail like American jails, where you get fed and you get clothed and you get 3 meals a day and you get to sleep and you get... No, no, no. It's going to be a torture chamber. And yet we're here in America humanely carrying out the mandate of our national immigration laws is somehow racist. So Bad Bunny's accused us of racist, but he comes to America and he sings. And when he sings, completely disrespecting the American people who speak English. We are an English-speaking country. Thank you very much. No disrespect meant to the Spanish, but we are an English-speaking country. And he comes in here and sings a whole halftime show in Spanish. Now, what is that? What is that? But I'll tell you what it is. It's in your face, Americans. I don't like America and I don't like you, but I've got an idiot named Roger Goodell who's willing to pay me who knows how many millions of dollars to stand here and insult you. So I'm going to do it. So you just stand there and take it. But you can't criticize that because that's racist. And again, as another footnote, folks, I can't even fathom how reprobate Roger Goodell is. I really can't. He had the nerve to say that Bad Bunny's performance was going to be a unifying moment. Unifying for who? All the demons that he possesses and that Bad Bunny possesses and everybody else who thought this was a great thing possess? Look, I forgot all about the Super Bowl. I'd be very honest, folks. I've so written the NFL off. I didn't know that the game had been played until I started watching the news the next morning. I didn't pay any attention to it. I had other things to do with my Sunday afternoon. But you can't call this out because after all, that makes you a racist. Oh, and you can't call out the fact that the NFL for the Super Bowl played the black national anthem because, I mean, my goodness, you can't say that. That makes you a racist. Well, call me whatever you want to call me, but let me just say again for the record, we are one nation. We have one national anthem. It is called the Star Spangled Banner, and there is no other. There is no black nation in this country. There are American citizens who happen to be black or happen to be people of African ancestry, but they are simply American citizens in one nation, which is called the United States of America. And Bad Bunny apparently in his halftime criticized us calling ourselves America. And somebody needs to say, hey, idiot, the official name of the country is the United States of America. America's in our name. There's no other country in our hemisphere that has America in its name except the United States of America. So by shorthand, we call ourselves America. So sue us. I mean, what is wrong with these people? Well, in addition to being demonic, you know, I said when you reject God, you just go stupid. So what do they want us to call ourselves? The United States of whatever. It just, well, you know, any old thing to delegitimize us and criticize us, these Olympians who are now saying, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable playing under the flag. Well, then join that old stupid woman who prefers to play for China. And go ahead and live there. And live under Xi Jinping. See how you like it. Be my guest. I mean, I won't miss you. We won't miss you on the Olympics. Believe me, we'll produce plenty of athletes who can probably do better and be proud to play under and to compete under that flag. So there's that. The SAVE Act. They're saying the SAVE Act is racist. The SAVE Act is Jim Crow 2.0. Now, all the SAVE Act, the main objective of the SAVE Act is that it requires an ID to vote. But they're saying, you can't do that. That's racist. That, folks, I think the number is like 70-80% of even black folks believe that you ought to be able to have to show ID to vote. Remember, they called the Georgia law Jim Crow 2.0. This is going to stop black people from voting. And they had the largest turnout of black voters in the next election that they've ever had in their history. It didn't stop the vote from turning out at all. In fact, all the talk about it probably made the vote even larger. But clearly, it didn't hinder anybody from voting. But again, this is the slave master class telling people you need to be rescued from the people who are trying to keep you from voting. And yes, we know you need an ID to fly. We know you need an ID to rent a room in a hotel. We know you need an ID to even to buy. So I told you I went to buy a washing machine one time and they wanted my ID in order to verify that where it was being delivered was in fact my home to buy a washing machine. But it's not right to ask people for an ID to vote. And it's not right to ask people to prove their citizenship in order to vote. Right, because they brought in 15, 20 million foreign invaders and they want them to be able to vote for them. And so they don't care how, by hook, by crook, by whatever means necessary. And they don't want you interfering with that by requiring that these people prove that they're American citizens, because they can't do that. But wait, let's not let a little thing like citizenship get in the way of letting these interlopers vote for these Democrats. Because after all, that's their purpose. That's why they're here. Again, to join their slave master, to join their slave class, so that they can riot when they need them to riot, protest when they need them to protest, vote when they need them to vote, and vote for whom they tell them to vote. And for that, they'll give you subsistence existence. They'll give you some welfare. They'll give you some food stamps. They'll give you some housing, maybe. And they'll give you some other little bennies and goodies and pat you on the head and tell you be a good boy and be a good girl and just be available when we call on you. I mean, it's, folks, this is what we're dealing with. And I said all that simply to say, that's why what I really believe what we do at Stand is so very, very important. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, a house divided against itself cannot stand, and a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. I don't want America brought to desolation, do you? But I can, there are people who do, because what they think is that out of the ashes they will emerge as the dictators of the nation. They keep accusing Donald Trump of wanting to be a dictator. They're the ones who want to be dictators. Have you all seen the news of what they're trying to do in Virginia? I mean, Abigail Spinberger is just going, she and these Democrats are just going crazy. I mean, they want a tax. Look, they want to impose a tax on deliveries. You know, you pay tax on the retail of the product you're buying. They want to tax the delivery. President Trump wants to reduce taxes and wants to not tax people for tips and overtime and so forth. These people are looking for ways to increase taxes on everything. 11% additional tax on any firearm. I think we're at 6% now. That means you buy a firearm, you would pay a 17% tax on the firearm. I mean, to me, that's a violation of the Second Amendment right there. Why are you singling out firearms? Firearms are mentioned in the Constitution of the United States. But mattresses and bicycles and other stuff is not. But you want to tax the very thing that the Constitution says the right to keep and bear shall not be infringed. But that's what you want to tax, because they don't want the American people to have the level of independence that allows us to defend ourselves. They don't want that. They don't want you independent. They want you dependent. And, you know, they've done away with Governor Youngkin's agreement with ICE to cooperate with ICE to help us get these illegal aliens out of the country. They want to turn Virginia into a sanctuary state and bring more of them in here so they commit more crimes and make it more less safe for all of us. Because, again, they need those slaves for their own benefit. They don't care how many children are trafficked. They don't care how many people die of fentanyl. They don't care how many people are killed on the way here. They don't care how much power they put in the hands of these cartels. The only thing they care is that in the end, they have power and their opponents do not. That's the only thing that matters. And isn't that the way a slave master thinks? The only thing that matters is that I have the power and my slaves do not. Now, folks, you can evaluate this analysis in your leisure. I hope I've given you a lot to think about. But I really believe that I have captured the essence of what we're facing. Look, Marxism is nothing but a glorified slave system, because it makes everyone a ward of the state. Well, what is that? There's a fighter named Rigondeaux, who I don't know whether he's still fighting, but I used to watch him years ago, going back 5, 6, 7 years, and he was from Cuba. And he would tell the story of how he ultimately escaped from had to escape from Cuba. See, because slaves aren't allowed to leave the plantation. He had to escape from Cuba. And the first time he got caught. And when he got caught, they took away from him the only possession that he had, the only thing that he had as a young man, which was a bicycle, and they took that from him. It was confiscated because he had proved to be an enemy of the state. So he could not have a bicycle. Hey, that's slavery. You're my slave. I give you certain things as a privilege as long as you behave yourself. And when you don't behave yourself, guess what? I take those things away because you don't deserve them. That's all Marxism is, a glorified slave system. But that's what they want for us. In order to get there, they've got to delegitimize our country in every way. And race is one of the ways they use to delegitimize America. Now, we're coming up to the 250th anniversary of our country. And, of course, we know the two things that are constantly, this woman, Eilish, she got herself into trouble living apparently on what was once tribal land, saying that you can't be illegal on stolen land. Well, apparently she's the illegal one because the tribes that once operated, lived on that land, pointed out that her home was on was on some of that stolen land she was talking about. I haven't heard anything about her giving it away. Have you? Apparently it's a $14 million mansion. I haven't heard the next day she said, you know, I didn't know that my house was on stolen land. I am ceding the deed over to this tribe. And I will go live in an apartment building. I mean, right, it's just like Joy Reid, Miss Black Paradigm with blonde hair. This is a woman talking about stolen land that she's living on in a $14 million mansion, but she's not giving that up. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds. But as I've said many times before, as we're coming in to celebrate our 250th anniversary, I've said, see, part of the problem is that the left doesn't want America properly evaluated. They want America denigrated, because out of that denigration, they believe, comes their exaltation as the leaders of a new country. A country that is not based upon the Constitution, that is not a constitutional republic, but a quote-unquote democracy. Because Abigail Spinberger here in Virginia is demonstrating that what they mean by democracy is once they get in the majority, they can do anything they want. And they have no reference to the Constitution or its limitations whatsoever. I mean, you don't hear them saying, well, wait a minute, let's evaluate what the Constitution requires and what it prohibits with regard to restricting people's ability to keep and bear arms. No, they don't care. They could care less because they don't consider the Constitution to be legitimate anyway. It's in their way. So they just ignore it, trample it, and do what they want to do. That's their version of democracy. They don't want a constitutional republic because the constitutional republic, which is what we have, actually restricts what they may do. And they don't want any restrictions on what they can do. Not a one. The reality is slavery was a worldwide phenomenon. And even though America participated in it for a time, we have been the greatest liberator of people of African ancestry in the history of the world. That's right, you can quote me on that. America has been the greatest liberator of people of African ancestry in the history of the world. Because people of African ancestry are more free here than they are in any part of Africa. Or anywhere else in the world, for that matter. These people need to get a revelation. Well, look, that's going to do it. I've got to go, but I hope this has been stimulating and given you a lot to think about, particularly as we move toward our 250th anniversary as a nation. If you'd like to help us to continue the mission that God has given us, bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian heritage, values, as one nation under God. Go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. We ask for always three things. Pray for us. Volunteer to help us. We do have volunteer roles that we need fulfilled as ambassadors, as people who found chapters in your area. And you can give. You know, you can give as little as $5 a month or as high as the Lord has blessed you to be able to give. Or you can give a one-time gift, however you do it. We're going to keep pressing ahead with the mission that God has given us. And I want to thank you all for all of your prayers and all of your support. Because our nation desperately needs all of us working together to help preserve it as the great constitutional republic that Ben Franklin said they've given us, if we can keep it. Well, by the eternal, we're going to keep it. So you know what we have to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.